sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, though the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
You cannot talk!
Épisode 181. Scream if you feel me. Bear with me here. Here we go. Turn it up. Let it start. From block to block, we snatching hearts and jacking marks. And the punk police can't fade me. And maybe we can have peace someday, G. But right now, I got my mind set up. Looking down the barrel of my 9, get up. Cause it's time to make the payback fat. Tell my brothers on the block, better stay strapped, black. And accept no substitutes. I bring the truth to the youth, tear the roof off the whole school. And oh no, I won't turn the other cheek. In case you can't see, when we burnt the other week. Excuse me. Now we got them in a smash blast. How long will it last till the po get more cash? Okay. How long will it last till the poor get more cash? Until then, raise up. Tell the young black male, blaze up. Life's a mess, don't stress, test. I'm giving, but I'm thankful to be living, bless. Much love to my brothers in the pen. See me when they free me, if not when they shove me in. Once again, it's an all-out strap. Keep your hand on your gat. Now your boys watch your back. Cause in the alleys out in Cali, I'ma tell ya, mess with the best and a vest won't help ya. Scream if you hear me.
Message.
I said scream if you feel me.
Message.
I said scream if you feel me.
Message.
See it clearly. You're too near me. Holla if you hear me.
Message.
All right. All right, bienvenue, welcome to another episode of the Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. MrShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B, a.k.a. Gaston Lenoir, and a.k.a. Fils Pasteur. Before I start the show, I want to, figure out what's up with my headphones. Okay, here we go. Okay, it's good. Before I start with the show, I want to inform you new listeners that this podcast is a safe space for my thought. And it's protected by the red, the black, and the green in collaboration with the red, black, and the red, blue. Rouge et bleu is up in this bitch. I represent and hold it down for black folks who say yes to the question, are you an outcast? I also represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and Soul of the City on Much Music. This episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on Pac's birthday, June 16, 2024. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. Yay. Maybe I should have a sound effect for that one. Yay. Oh, no. Then fuck you too. That's what's up. Yeah, all right, okay. Yes, like I mentioned. Oh, well, first of all, let me just to help. I like to look out for you new listeners just to get, you know, this is probably your first time in the Church of Be Black. That's what Shut Up Podcast is. It's my church. All right. But yeah. Yeah, new listeners, just to help you get familiar with this podcast, I like to break down my episodes into three parts, which I prefer to call acts. And the first act is the intro. Second act is using random thoughts. And the final act is final thoughts. Now, in the intro, the first act, I like to, so far what you've heard is the theme. After the theme, I shared the title of today's episode, Scream If You Hear Me. And what's after that? Oh, after that was some poetry that both the title and the poetry all complement, will relate to the final thought, the third act. And everything after that was salutation and, you know, a kind of heads up to white people and the kind of podcast they're about to listen to, you know. It's my way of, I know it's not going to happen, but it's my way of preventing unnecessary emails from being written or comments being sent my way. It's like, what the fuck is with all this black shit? Yeah. Okay. Another thing I like to do in the intro is recognize some dates that have happened this week. Well, for today, let me start with today's Pac's birthday. We at Shut Up Podcast are very fond of this artist. Pac was like Jesus. Nas wrote the Bible. No, okay, that came out. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Let's just say, yeah, Pac is a very important character on this podcast, and I expect him for you to be important to you as well. It's a dictatorship. It's a Rick-tatorship. It's a Be Black-tatorship. Whatever. Also, I guess I feel the need to acknowledge that today is Father's Day. I guess happy Father's Day to the fathers out there, especially fathers who are struggling, man, especially the single fathers, the ones who don't make it on the Hallmark card, the fathers who are struggling co-parenting. Oh my God, wrong. Yeah, co-parenting. Fathers out there, co-parenting, especially those of you co-parenting with a woman who hates your guts. I don't know. I'm going to go with unjustifiably. Those justifiably. Yeah, nah, fuck that. You don't get a happy Father's Day for me. No, I'm talking about those struggling, man. I bring this up. It's a big deal for me because that used to be my biggest fear. And that's why I'm single. No, I remember growing up, I can't explain it, but I had this like fear of being co-parenting. And it was more I was raised with the idea of when you're married, you stay married and you parent till death do you part. And I kind of wish, sometimes I wish that the concept of co-parenting was shared. It's like, in case shit don't work out, in case you bust a nut in the wrong chick. No, okay, that came out wrong. In case you accidents happen. And you find yourself co-parenting in a less ideal situation. Well, I mean, shout out to those of you co-parenting with women with women who, you know, share your maturity. You're both mature. You're both trying to make it work. And it's actually working out. And especially those of you who won the lottery ticket and you find yourself, yo, her and I are better as parents than we are as a couple. Does that make sense? Anyway, oh my God. Yeah, I'm not supposed to spend all this time on... Yeah, but happy Father's Day. And only because I'm not going to say much about it. This episode won't be dedicated to Father's Day. Oh my God, hold on a second. What the fuck was that? Just a sec. Oh man. Humidifier is the... Okay, I got to do something about this room. Okay, I'm complaining again about this room. All right, another day I need to acknowledge is, I believe it is Eid al-Adha. I tried to Google it before because I thought Eid was right after Ramadan. But apparently it's, I got to get more detail about it. But I just got to say happy Eid. All right, acknowledge happy Eid. And yeah, dates. That's, yeah, that's another thing that happens in the intro. We recognize date. Another thing that happens in the intro is I share some quotes. And today's quotes are probably slightly different than usual. Well, the first one is, why am I getting a message from Instagram that I'm not logged in? I thought I was. It doesn't matter. But this quote I thought was more thought-provoking. And it goes, the American education system, Canadian too, the white people education system, his story, the American education system has us knowing the names of the three boats Columbus came on better than the tribes, whose land we live on. Think about that one. Think about it. That's why most of us are like, have this, we forget. Like, we talk about genocide, we talk about this, but we forget that this shit happened to human beings, real people. We've occupied, we're living on stolen land that belonged to human beings. I'm just trying to say white supremacy has a habit of making you forget that people who are not white are human beings as well. Right, okay, and the last quote, this is from, I'm actually in the middle of The Wire rewatch. I don't know what number I'm at, but it's like, it's up there. And I'm at season two, and there's, I guess it somewhat relates to Father's Day. And it goes, boy, I might have brung you into this world, but you're the one who's going to have to live in it. D from The Wire. Yeah, no, it's more the idea of, shout out to the parents out there who recognize that, sure, you may have brought your kid to the world, but in the end, they're the one who have to make the best. They're the ones who are going to have to live with their own decisions. I'm just, you know what? I'm not going to expand further past that. I'm just going to say it was a powerful saying. All right. So with this, with all that said, this concludes the first act. Now let's jump to the second act. All right. Let us go. Yeah. You know, let me expand this. Do I really need to look at myself? No, I don't. Okay. So I'm recording it visually too. All right. Sorry, I just realized that, okay, I said this wasn't going to be an episode about Father's Day, and I realized that the first two links relate to Father's Day. Well, I mean to fathers. Okay, first one is, on the last episode, which I don't expect you to have listened to it. I mean, if you have, good for you. I talked about that superintendent who, I guess his name is Superintendent Rainey Briggs. Who's that? He's the black guy who was on stage during a graduation ceremony. And as a superintendent, part of his job is shaking hands with students after they graduate. You know, I mean, it's kind of thing like that. He's the brother who was getting ready to do his job. And this white girl who was about to shake hands, this white man out of nowhere pops up and moves him out the way and says, this motherfucker ain't shaking my daughter's hands. And it's amazing how that's not the point of the article. The point of the article is, the title goes, Wisconsin superintendent won't accept dad's apology after storming grad stage. Now, I guess when this shit was presented, the internet has accepted that, yo, fuck it. Racist high school, the reason homie did it was for racist reason. Now, I guess this is in a world of law and order and lawyers and not getting sued. The article goes really into a lot of, out of their way, like, mainstream media goes out of their way to say, we're not saying this dude was racist. We're not saying he did it because he was racist. But, no, not even a but they're going out of their way to say, hey, we don't know if what he did was racist. But based on the high school, whatever, apparently, okay, I'll tell you what, I'm going to do something I rarely do on this podcast, is read the actual article. Usually I do the, I'm feeling confident, usually I do the AI. But here we go. I'm gonna read it, okay? And this is from TMZ. Can I get sued for this shit? He goes, all right. The Wisconsin high school official who got shoved aside by the father of the graduating senior is speaking out on the incident, finally, saying an apology here is too little too late. Oh, sorry, I meant not finally that he spoke out. It doesn't matter. But respect, you know, fuck him, man. Don't accept the apology. It was Superintendent Rainey Briggs, who was on stage at Barabo High School, the now infamous graduation ceremony, told media outlets attorney from Matthew Eddy contacted him Monday with informal apology from the dad. But it sounds like it didn't go over well. Hey, let me tell you about something about racism. Right. And I feel like racism is when white people do something racist. They usually do it, the successful racist does it in a way where the intended victim, the intended recipient slash victim will understand it. They'll understand it, but every other white person will be like, whoa, what's going on? Well, how is that racist? Like, it's always camouflage. The days of a nigger in your face, nigger, is gone. Now, in this particular dude, you know, I'm kind of surprised this white dude, Matt, is that his name? What's his name? Matthew Eddy hasn't gone out on a public tour. I was like, oh, I would never been racist. I just don't like this nigger. And whatever. Apparently, there was like some kind of, some. You know, I'll read the rest of the article. It goes into it. It goes up. Briggs told Daily Mail an apology doesn't. Wait, did I read this already? You know, Briggs told Daily Mail an apology doesn't make things go away. Agree. He says Eddy caused a lot of harm by rushing on stage and physically preventing Briggs from shaking his daughter's hand. As we reported, video shows Eddy waiting near the stage. He was waiting near the stage for his daughter to walk across before bolting over to Briggs and shoving him away as his daughter approached with her diploma. I mean, dude is a little over familiar too. Okay, whatever. I mean, then don't let your daughter go to the fucking graduation if that's so much a big of a problem. Because at first, some believed race was not a factor here. Excuse me. At first, some believe race was a factor here. White people. Anyways, meaning the denial of racism. Because Briggs is black and Eddy is white. But there's no evidence, always, of course. There's no evidence, at least that they can use. It reminds me of A Few Good Men. It's not about, it's all about what you can prove. And because we can't prove he did it out of racism, the rest of us are like, I mean, even if he wasn't thinking, yeah, I hate niggers. It's the idea that, yo, I'm going to go on stage and tell this nigger, can't touch my daughter's hand. Regardless, it's fucked up. Anyways, okay. At first, believe it's black. Okay. But there's no evidence thus far. And Eddy told cops his beef with Briggs was because he disliked Briggs over past issue involving the school and his kid. I won't lie. A part of me was wondering, it would really suck if that white man had reasons to actually hate this black dude. It's like, yeah, man, he fondled my daughter. I'm like, oh, shit. I mean, like, yeah, oh, man, we owe homie an apology. But let me read the rest of the article. Briggs says he's unsure if his race. Oh, wow. Oh, okay, this one. Okay, no, sorry. Briggs is the superintendent. Briggs says he's unsure if his race was a factor. Because, you know, he's a superintendent. He can't go out and accuse a white man without proof. Factor now that the dust has settled, telling NBC News and DM that question for, that's a question for Eddy, though Briggs adds, the optics don't look good. You're telling me. Remember, Briggs ended up getting temporary restraining order. Against Eddy. And the father has also been charged with disorderly conduct as a result of all this. Well, that's it. The restraining order bars Eddy from contacting Briggs directly. He can't legally apologize even if he wanted. But it sounds like there's no use for it now. Okay, let me see if I get details about why this white man hated this guy. Told cops. Let me see. Rush the stage, gets through, okay, goes. The dad who rushed the stage to prevent the daughter from superintendent actually told the cops he did it, and he doesn't look like he mentioned race at all. According to the police report, submitted by Barabo. Fucking information, AJ. Says the father was questioned by officer that night, and in terms of a rationale, they claim he told them he had some kind of personal history with the superintendent, Rainey Briggs, the black school official that he shoved away. Per the docs obtained, you know, I hate playing this game. Was it racism? Per the docs obtained by TMZ's dad, told police he had past issues with Rainey and disliked him. He also alleged said he didn't want Rainey to have the satisfaction of shaking his daughter's hand. The cops go on to note that the dad was vague upon further questioning, and eventually the cops say they scold the father about his action, told him the way he conducted himself wasn't acceptable. The father apparently was asked if he was remorseful for what he did. The cops said, yes. Okay. And for God's sakes, so it sounds like he's still bitter over whatever beef he has with the superintendent. Okay. All right. Well, whatever. I remember reading somewhere about the superintendent, I think it was disciplining his daughter or something like that. And his daughter said, I won't do it again. And something about how he rolled his eyes. And he was like, oh, fucking, and he didn't, and yeah. And that's what the father has beef. Well, I guess, yeah, it doesn't go into, you know what? Let me find out if what happens if I Google Rainey Briggs. See if there's any update since this article is written. Yeah, I'm invested. What? I should have done some research before this episode? Yeah, that's a good idea. I should have done, okay, Rainey Briggs. Okay. Oh. Hold on a second. Let me see if this article says anything about it. We're doing some research on the spot. Bear with me.
This is the now viral video of the moment a Baraboo pair rushed the stage at the high school's graduation. He pushed the superintendent, seemingly to stop his daughter from shaking hands with him. Our Braden Ross just sat down with the superintendent, Dr. Rainey Briggs, in his first local interview since the incident. Braden, what's his perspective?
Yeah, well, that video from the graduation went viral online, even picked up by international tabloids like the Daily Mail and TMZ. But now in his first local interview since the incident, Dr. Briggs is giving us an inside look at how he felt on that stage.
In that moment, I'm kind of like, well, is this a photographer? But as he descended upon me, you know, I'm kind of like, oh man, what is he doing? And as he approached me, he says, no, you're not. And at that point, I'm still not, you know, understanding what he's referring to. And then as we got back further on the stage, he said, you're not touching my effing daughter.
Now, Dr. Briggs first took on the role of Baraboo superintendent in 2021. Just 3 years before that, the district had been launched into controversy again after a photo of a Baraboo high school students doing a Nazi salute went viral. This incident has shown another negative spotlight on the district, but Briggs says he wants to change that narrative. Now, you can hear what he said about that in my full interview with him this Sunday morning at 10:30 on
Fulton. Oh, motherfucker.
Braden Ross reporting. Braden, thank
you. Yeah, my fault. Okay, I want to. You know what? Okay, this is the thought that's going through my mind. I'm not being fair. I'm not a journalist. This is that moment when I'm watching Law and Order and I'm like, fuck. And I'm all emotional about wanting to hang the criminal or whatever, and someone says some rational shit about why I shouldn't. I'm an emotional dude, man. So I'm like, this is what I'm getting at is there's a part of my brain going, what if? Fuck, I don't have the proof, but what if? I don't think it's possible. I want to be clear. But I am saying, what if? There's another side to the story. It would suck. Oh, fuck. Okay, I'm going to stop before I get myself in trouble. But we'll wait. Because I guess what I'm saying is, usually when it's full-on racist, the media runs with that shit. But the fact that they're holding back, I'm like, fuck, what if there's another part to this story that we're scared to find out? I mean, in what situation could, okay, because I'm an emotional dude. Nah, I don't see myself going, hey, asshole, you're not shaking her hand. You know what this reminds me of? This is up there with with, I guess this is what I'm comparative. This reminds me of when Chris Rock went on stage to smack Chris Rock. Now, there is no fucking context where it's not justified, but there was a bit of, I understand. I mean, not that I understand, but like, there was a bit of, if you, I'm trying to explain a complex idea of a tragedy. I'm not saying, no, okay, that's exactly it. Okay, so this is how my brain works. It likes to try to rationalize the irrational. It tries to make sense of shit that don't make sense. So in the case of Chris Rock is, I can understand, like, if we broke it down as psychiatrists, as scientists, it's like, on one end, Chris Rock makes a joke. Something happens Fresh Prince's Will Smith's mind that has him believing that he's justified to get up and smack him. It's not about right or wrong. It's more about understanding what the fuck happened. That's what I'm talking about. And it's one of those conversations it's hard to have with people because they're always, I'll be included myself, because we're always trying to put it in a box, right and wrong. And I'm just trying to understand the science to it. How the fuck did this white man, with all these people watching, felt justified to get up and say, you're not shaking my motherfucking daughter's hand? That's what I want to understand. I'm not at the right or wrong yet. I want to understand the science to it. And I'm scared of the possibility. I'm not saying this, but I'm scared of the possibility that I'm going to hear a story that's going to be like, okay, if I was in his shoes, I would have done the same. But I'm really going with the fucking, the entitled parent. That's fucked up, man. We got to admit, it's fucked up. I'm just going to conclude it's fucked up. Let's segue to the other one because I'm, speaking of fucked up, I was, I got to read this because I got to share this. It goes, this is kind of funny. So, speaking of Father's Day, let me just read the caption, okay? And it's a picture of Nick Cannon, Father of the Year. He goes, oh my God, okay, this shit is kind of funny. He goes, serial sperminator Nick Cannon reveals that he has a meet and greet plan for all his children to spend time with him on Father's Day. I just want to go on record and say, yes, I did call my dad on Father's Day. I'm just not doing the regular church activities, Father's Day shit. All right, okay. He told People magazine it's supposed to be a day where I get to rest, but I want to give all my kids the opportunity to how many kids does he have? The opportunity to connect and give me gifts and all the type of stuff. He's supposed to give gifts? What about a phone call? In attendance will be the twins Morocco and Monroe, whom he shares with ex Mariah Carey. His two sons, Golden Sagan and Rise, Messiah Cannon, and his daughter, Powerful Queen, that's their names, who he shares with Brittany Bell, an additional set of twins, Zion McSolidan and Zillion. Zillion her, and a daughter, beautiful Zeppelin. That's a lot of fucking kids. Zeppelin, my parents would be proud of him. Zeppelins are the kids that he shares with Abby De La Rosa. I'm not done. His son, legendary love that he has with Brie Tessie. His daughter, Hello Mary. I gotta send this to my homegirl Jay. She's gonna laugh her ass off. His daughter, Hello Mary Cannon, and he shares with Alyssa Scott. And finally, his daughter, Onyx Ice Cole, that he shares with model Lanisha Cole. Sounds like one hell of a party. Okay, first I'm going to do is Google, what is the net worth of Nick Cannon? God bless the information age. All right. Nick Cannon's child support payment. When Google reads my mind, you know what I was where this is going. Oh, God damn it. Hold on a second. I'm bitching about my ad blocker. Thanks a lot, Trudeau. All right. God damn it. Hold on. I'm making this thing of I blame everything on Trudeau. Just I feel like it's a trend in Canada. Can't get it up. Thanks a lot, Trudeau. All right. Nick Cannon net worth in 2024 and how he affords all his kids. Blood. I'm not reading all that. Okay. Nick Cannon's net worth is nothing to shake a stick at. What does that mean? But it would probably be a lot higher if he got a vasectomy. The comedian, actor, host, and producer working in Hollywood. Okay, I just want to see numbers. He got a lot. I was going to Google how many kids does Nick Cannon have, but hey, Google. How many kids does Nick Cannon have in total? 12
kids. According
Jesus
to- proud father of 12 kids, whom he shares with six different women.
Wow. You know, I remember during my Christian days, when I was a Christian. Okay, here it goes. Nick Cannon's net worth is estimated $50 million. Okay, he'll be all right. I mean, so much. Yeah, but I mean, he can't buy a second yacht. Given that he recently told LA Times he makes $100 million per year. Nigga, please. That's unstanchable report seems to be a little low. Huh? But then again, he does have a high overhead. All right, 50 million, 12 kids. That's damn. Damn. Am I sounding like I'm mocking? I am kind of mocking. On one end, you know, because my parents are disappointed that I don't have any kids. And I'm like, I wonder how proud they'd be, 12 kids, six different baby moms. Oh, where I was going with this, yeah, during my Christian days is I wanted to be a man of God. I was like, what's the word? Sex hungry. I was a pussy hound. I was. So that's why I really envied Solomon, King Solomon. I wanted to be King Solomon. King Solomon's Jewish, right? Doesn't matter. Whatever. Yeah, I wanted to be because he was a man of God and he got bitches. You know how many girls? He had like 700 wives. 700 wives and 300 side chicks. Well, concubines. 300, right? I don't know how they did it back then, but you would need a fucking Excel spreadsheet to maintain all these chicks. I can't fit 700 chicks inside this apartment. 300? This apartment. Like, do you have a... because I'm like... Because I imagine... Back in those days, he didn't have to do shit like spend time with them. I guess he just had like hoes and different area codes. I mean, you know what I mean? Like rappers show off the girlfriends in their background. I guess, yeah, I imagine. My point is, I don't think he was banging all 700. I think there was a few of them who, if they had kids, they weren't Solomon. But in my mind, in my pussy hungry mind, I wanted to be King Solomon. And in my mind, I was having sex with all 700. All 700 of them are having kids. I'm not moving on to wife 502 until 501 has at least one kid. You can't be a wife and not have kids. The side chicks can't have kids. Anyway, yeah, that's who I wanted to be. So in a way, I'm kind of like, you know, because in my mind, I'm thinking he had with those six wives, Nick Cannon, those six wives, he had the same sex that you would see in porn movies. But when you procreate, I don't think it's kind of, you know, I don't know. I'm just, damn, 12 kids. Good for him. Happy Father's Day to Nick Cannon. Blah, blah, blah. And King Solomon. You know what? Let me Google. Fuck it. This is going to be an interesting episode. King Solomon. How many kids did King Solomon have? Can you guess? That's four? That's it? 700 wives and homie only has four children? What the fuck? Not bad, actually. Well, his overhead was low. I mean, wow. All that money, you only had four kids. That's impossible. Okay, you know what? That were counted. I'm sure he had more, but, you know, with the side chicks. Oh, wow. Maybe abortion was legal back then. I don't know. Whatever. Maybe they had Plan B back then. I don't want to talk about Plan B back in those days. All right. Okay, let me end this thing, okay? Good, grow up, B-Black. Okay, I spent too much time on Nick Cannon. Okay, let's get to more serious topic here. Self-neglect. Okay. This one is by content creator Big Sis Casey. And it's short. Oh, wow. She's got a whole episode on self-neglect. I guess it's part of a podcast. But she just said something that was worth me saving and sharing with you all. Here we go.
I think when you're raised by emotionally immature parents and you're conditioned to believe that self-neglect is a noble behavior, you feel like you shouldn't want or need anything. Like you can get by on breadcrumbs.
What I love about this special, the reason why the timing of the special was amazing is because I was having a conversation with a friend and where they found themselves using the words. A friend who's not into therapy. I hate when people who aren't in therapy ask about my therapy sessions. You know, I like talking about it. I just don't like you bringing it up unless I fucking bring it up. Or even worse, saying some stupid shit like thinking of something you believe. Oh, I've mentioned this on a past episode. Bring up, like, you know, area of improvement and no, let me be clear. I hate when people who I also believe would benefit from therapy aren't in therapy ask about my therapy sessions. Because the whole time I'm like, you know what? How about you work on your own problems? Focus on your own. It's just because I'm growing up in the church. I'm so used on being surrounded by everyone being a self-entitled, self-proclaimed life coach. And everybody wants to talk about your problems, about things you need to improve, while their shit is stinking even worse than yours. Anyway, whatever. So I was in a conversation. A friend was someone I was talking to. They were in the middle of explaining how, you know what? Well, you just need to set some boundaries. Like, I wasn't aware that putting up boundaries was very important. And it was annoying because shit like, you know, stand up for yourself. Like, doing things that it's considered normal. And in your, it's the equivalent of telling someone that ADHD is, hey, why don't you just show up on time? Why don't you just leave early? Like, people act like, I guess what I'm trying to say is, if you're not in a position to offer solutions, shut the fuck up. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. It's like, work on your own issues. Let me get back to the point. To the point of self-neglect is, let me just replay what you said because I just realized I distracted myself. I lost focus.
I think when you're raised by emotionally immature parents and you're conditioned to believe that self-neglect is a noble behavior, you feel like you shouldn't want or need anything. Like you can get by on breadcrumbs.
Yeah. Okay. So to add to this, it had me thinking about how I grew up with this notion, believing that if you love someone, you'll let them, you won't have boundaries around them. Right? especially that includes Jesus. Jesus don't like boundaries. If you love someone, the more you love someone, the more there's no boundaries. This fallacy. The theory behind it was not only do you not have boundaries is because if you love them, they'll be kind enough to know your limit. I've stepped too much on the, you know, it's, you're supposed to know that it was just a joke. You're the one who was supposed to know that. No, I meant well. Sure. I had good intentions. The impact was negative, but it's up to you to focus on the intention, not the impact. Do you know what I mean? So I'm thinking of what she was saying is the idea of how the idea where she says that it's noble, emotionally is some noble thing you're doing. Another reason why I have beef with Christianity, it's from there that I got the ideas that, I don't know, the Bible doesn't really talk about boundaries, but it's from there that I got the ideas of Lord forgive them because they don't know what they do. It's from there that I got the notion that it's up to you to tolerate shitty people. It's your responsibility. You're an extension of God's love. That person who's being shitty to you is hurting on the inside. And it's your duty, being that you're God's vessel, it's for you to extend love that at some point will heal them from that pain. Like, there is no sense of self. And that's why all this shit start to make sense. It's why I think about, like, people in relationship with shitty people, with abusive partners, and they don't leave. That's the thing. The logic in their head, to us, it's like, what the fuck is your problem? But if you were, like, to dig into the operating system of their mind, yes, their minds have made sense. No, take the abuse. It's for your own good. They have associated the abuse from the other partner with self-preservation, with I'm just trying to say is, I guess what I'm getting point is, if you're not a therapist, shut the fuck up. it's just so annoying just to hear people talk about, it's like I want to call them civilians. Or no, just in general, people who say shit that they're not in a position of saying. You know, I think it's a common thing being from Ottawa. It's like we hide our insecurities by focusing on other people. We hide our issues by focusing on other people's problem. I have a friend whose podcast, and he's being real on his podcast. He's being like self-deprecating and all that shit. And part of why I like listening to, part of why, I'm not saying it's the only reason, but part of why I like listening to this person's podcast is because I'm wrestling with my mind because I want to tell this person, I want to offer them solutions. I want to send them all kinds of shit that I should be sending to myself. This person's podcast, when I listen to it, I'm fascinated on how much me and this person think alike, especially when it comes to self-deprecation. And where I want to, it's like I want to save them, but I force myself to realize, hey, fuck you, save yourself. The same solution, the same help you want to send this person, you need to be sending it to yourself. So in a way, it's kind of like a mental exercise. It's it's like a podcast about myself. It's like, this person's podcast is a podcast I could have made if I was in their shoes. And I find myself, yeah, whatever, all the love you want to send them, send that shit back to yourself. Anyways, all this to say, shout out to Casey Smith, a.k.a. Big Sis Casey. And hold on, let me see if I can. Yeah, oh shit, okay, maybe I'll check out that episode. Yeah, she's on YouTube. I'm going to add this person. All right, okay, what else do I got?
It's not you, it's me.
Hold on a second. Yeah, this is interesting. What else? Really only got 4 items here? Let me go for the agenda, make sure I'm on track here. Oh, not bad. Okay. All right. I'm going to end with, this is interesting. Content creator, Alo Ramono. Oh, my God. Sorry. My apologies. Alora Momo. Momo, that's his name. And, I'm starting to feel like a dick rider right now. Yeah, no, because I've been a fan of this dude's content lately in general, but I'm saying I've been sharing a lot of this person's content, this person's messages on my podcast in the past few episodes. So, and this particular message, I remember hearing it, and it pretty much summarizes, or it touches on the final thought in the previous episode. You know what? I just remembered. I can't remember the title of the last episode. Oh, just give me a second, because my brain doesn't work as well. The title of last episode was, shout out to those of you who don't, who are saying it before I do, is Return to Sender. Right. And in there, I talk about, it was a summary of my love life and how, oh, I mean, I shouldn't call it a love life, but my attempts at a love life, and how I've been, it's all about pursuing an, look, this brother pretty much summarizes it better than I did. Better than I can. And here we go. Hopeless romantic. Here we go.
It's not you, it's me.
Wow, original.
No, I sensationalized you.
What?
When I meet someone, I build them up in my head.
Like a character?
Exactly. I created a storyline for us and became infatuated.
Yep. Delusion.
Romance.
Same shit.
I created a character of you and fell in love with her.
Oh, and as my character withers away,
I'm pulled from the excitement of fantasy
to the letdown of reality.
Yeah.
That's fucked.
I know, I'm sorry.
No, for you.
What?
Distance, timing, expectations.
The great adversaries of love.
Two of those are out of your control, but
expectations are self-inflicted.
And if you expect real love to match up with delusional romance, you'll never be satisfied.
It's a repeating cycle.
Disappointed by love because of your one-sided expectation.
And then run away to fantasy for comfort. The hopeless romantic is a tragic character.
Because fantasy will never live up to reality.
And if I'm incapable of keeping the expectations at bay,
you'll always find yourself saying,
it's not you, it's me. Powerful, man. Yeah, I know the idea. And so take what he just said and multiply that shit with porn, and you got a recipe for a disaster, for a recipe for disaster. Anyway, powerful. You know, okay, all right. Let me just conclude and end this act and jump to the final act of Final Thought. And I thought it was cool. Kind of proud of him. You know what? I'm going to give myself some props here. Let me do some little props here, which I haven't done in a while. Here we go. Where is it? That's not the sound effect I was looking for. It was this one. Yay! I don't want people laughing at me. I must have brought because I initially usually have my episodes ready the day before, and today I was close to not having an episode ready, and I prepared it in a few minutes, and I'm actually happy with what I just picked. So, all this to say, yeah, now that I've tapped myself on the back, stroked my own dick, let's jump to final thoughts, all right? All right, let's go. Yeah, I should consider getting the producers for this podcast. All right, okay. Let's start with what's up with today's title. Okay, two things I want to talk about in final thought. The first one is today's title, and then the second one I'm going to end with the interview I just did. I finished yesterday. I'm all happy about it. So let me just get the usual out the way. So what's up with today's title? Today's title comes from Tupac's song, Holla If You Hear Me. And the two things that inspired me, this title was, one is, I noticed on my Contact Us page on the website, it says getting contact. Could have sworn I've changed that. And I was in the process of updating it to Holla If You Hear Me. Oh, okay, at the bottom it says get in contact, but lower it says holler at me. But I'm going to change that to holler if you hear me. And I found myself, while thinking of making sure I'm getting the right wording by Tupac, I found myself going through the lyrics by Holler If You Hear Me. And sometimes there are moments where I will hear a rap song, and then there's a time where I will listen to it. Holla If You Hear Me was one of those rap songs by Tupac. Well, I mean, one of those rap songs that I was only hearing. Sometimes when I listen to a rap song, when I actually invest processing times, where I let emotions bring up, when memories are sparked up, I ended up liking it. I don't care whether the beat was good or not, but I ended up liking it even more. And this, it happens. It happens every once in a while. It's like, it like hits me like a Haley's Comet. Like a comet. Yeah, I was listening to Holler If You Hear Me by Tupac, focusing on the lyrics and thinking about how, wow, I was thinking about that while thinking about my Contact Us page. And it's like, yes, holler if you hear me. That's what this podcast is about. I say shit out loud, and my hope is that someone will connect to what I'm saying and be like, yo, I know what you mean. I've been there. I know what you're saying. I don't do it for the fame and the flashy rocks. I do it for hip hop. No, I do it to make people scream. It's my attempt to make someone out there scream. And scream, yeah, I know what you mean. Been there. You're not alone. I know what you're saying. It's going to be a journey, you know, and I'm willing to die trying doing this thing. I mean, it would help if I got better at marketing. But it's a journey, folks. It's all a journey. Anyway, yeah, so shout out to Pac for helping me reflect on the mission statement for with that verse of from his song, Holler If You Hear Me. Thank you for making me, making me think about my mission statement. And the second reason why I chose it is because today's Tupac's birthday, and I needed a way to acknowledge his birthday. There's no goddamn way Shut Up Podcast does. Like, I want to be able to publish this episode and the title makes you think, well, makes a Pac fan think about Tupac. There. That's the main reason why I picked it. The other reason, too, is I'm thinking about not just that, but the idea of holler if you hear me, scream if you feel me. You're talking to some. This is a big deal. What I'm doing on this podcast to you, it's just some shit that you may have clicked on by mistake. But to me, it's a big deal because you're talking to some. Earlier I was talking about self neglect. You're talking to a human being, to a person who grew up with the notion that he had nothing to share with this world. He had nothing to say to this world. His greatest contribution to this world is shutting the fuck up. Is shutting up. Hence the title. Message, the title, Shut Up. I'm used on being quiet. I'm used on being the guy in the meeting. It's like, oh, I do have something to say, but I don't think people want to hear it. Not giving value. Telling myself, shut the fuck up, B. Yes, you're right. There is a mistake on the board. the teacher's fly is open. You know what I mean? Like things you need to say and being like, I think I may have gotten in trouble being like, wait, you knew all this time you didn't say anything? I'm like, well, I didn't think at the time you wanted to hear it. And whatever. But yeah, you're talking to someone who has convinced himself that he was born to be quiet. And what's even wild about it is I was talking to someone who noticed that, you know, it's like, dude, oh, right. It wouldn't make sense that your father's a preacher because you seem to have the skills of it. Despite the fact that I have all these skill set to speak in front of an audience, including being comfortable speaking in front of an audience, I still had this belief that I had nothing to say, that I was born to be in this world to be quiet. And I'm realizing that's wrong. That's not right. So I say all this so I can segue to, you know, I'm going to tell, I was keeping it a secret. So I interviewed comedian Habib Siam. He's a homeboy. And I got to tell you, man, it felt good. I felt good after that interview. What's funny is how I initially, the night before, I had smoked some weed. You know, I went to bed late smoking weed. And I remember smoking, it was like probably one. it was probably one. And I knew that I had to wake up early for this interview because homie wanted to do an interview in the morning. And I'm not mad at it. I have this philosophy or this idea. Actually, I forget the name of the colleague who shared this with me. He goes, the idea is if it doesn't wake you up on a Saturday morning, it's not worth doing. What's that line by Biggie? He goes, don't make moves unless your heart's in it. That's a powerful statement. I mean, yeah. A lot of us, I mean, shout out to those of us born to immigrant parents who are like, passion? Fuck a passion. Does it pay bills? And then it's good for you. Anyway, yeah. So, yeah, don't make moves if your heart ain't in it. Yeah, the interview went well. And there's, I'm actually proud of it. I'm still not sure how I'm going to put it out. like as a single episode, as something behind a paywall, as whatever. I'm doing a lot of thinking, but I do know that it needs to go out. And once it goes out, like, how am I going to promote it? Because I feel like it's one of those things that needs to be shared. But all I know is before I could put it out, I need to do a bit of editing. There's one part where I mention a comedy club. And after Homeboy goes, yeah, we're going to refer to that club as the club that should not be mentioned. And after, by the end of the interview, he sold me. I'm like, yeah, fuck that. They're the club that will not be mentioned. Even though there's only two major comedy clubs in the city of Ottawa. And I believe there's like three major comedy heads in all of Canada. Anyway, my point is, it was a very insightful conversation. I say interview, but it was more, I prefer the term conversation. Because it was an exchange of ideas. It, passed expectation. I love conversations where it's not just that I'm entertained, but it leaves me thinking. And one thing I'm thinking about is what am I trying to do with this podcast and this comedy shit? The one thing I do know is I'm passionate about it and I wish it could be my full-time job. Matter of fact, if I manage to make podcasting and comedy a full-time job, I vow on all seven kingdoms that I will take back all the nasty shit I've said about life. about life sucking. If I can figure that out. And during our conversation is because I won't spoil it, but there's a part where he talks about. Let me just say takeaway is. One takeaway is what I realized that me and Habib have in common. Is we're both people who want to use our public speaking skills or comedy or whatnot, our ability to stand in front of an audience to make them laugh but also to get a message across. Like, I didn't realize this dude used to be a professor, used to teach. And anyway, again, I'm not going to spoil it. I'm going to focus on the interview. I'll let you hear it on the interview. One notion I did bring up is I talked about how... at the beginning, as I realized, is I joked about how, you know, it takes a village to raise a child, and I joked about how it takes a village to raise a comedian, and what I meant by that is I was grateful for. I'm gonna admit that I mentioned this in a past episode how, when I got into comedy, it felt like a new community. It was a community of like-minded people. I mean, it was wrong. It was more, later I realized, nah, they're just people who I share a trait with. But I am grateful for the people in the comedy community who did it just that, who treated it like a community. Like, sure, they wanted to be famous. They wanted to be successful in their career, but they were also like, what's the word? Not just, they were very supportive. Like, I'm very grateful for the comics who were instinctively treated it like a community. Like, they did nice shit. And from helping you, you know, from like helping you write a joke, from being like, hey, bro, you can't use that language around. Like, I remember this one gay comedian. And I had this joke. It was like it was pretty much homophobic joke, but it had a funny punchline. And he caught me. He said, "Bro, man, fuck, either do it or don't." I'm paraphrasing. He didn't use those words, but he saw that I was being a little too timid about it. It's like, I'm not racist. I was doing like the white person of like, I'm not racist. A lot of my friends are white or black. I was being that guy, and he was like, "Bro, either do it or don't." Like. It's less about the person. It's more about doing shit, memorable shit. That's what I'm trying to say. Because there's a lot of people in the comedy community who, some of them I'm not on speaking terms with. But despite that, there are a few of them who, because people are people, right? Some of us, we're just not meant to get along or we're not meant to be pals. But there is a lot of them, despite us or me not liking them, I am still grateful. I'm still remembering the shit that had great impact on me. It's memories. It's just I think it was I nearly said Norm MacDonald. No, not Norm MacDonald, the other MacDonald. It's what was his name? Oh, fuck. Rest in peace. Ottawa comedian. Comedian Mike MacDonald. I'm gonna get my ass kicked by the city of Ottawa for not remember his name. Mike MacDonald, yeah. Passed away March 17, 2018. I remember him writing on a Facebook post, and we forget the code, but he used the words how, like, holding the door for other comics. And I remember reading that and being like, okay, so there is a sense of community amongst these people. Because I remember first starting out, I just felt like everyone was just trying to get theirs. Everyone's trying to get their comedy special, and it's like, fuck you. I came from a community of Toastmasters, where in Toastmasters, where it's like, everyone is trying to help, well, if you're with the right people, of course, but everyone is trying to help you get better at public speaking. And then when I moved from that environment to the comedy community, it just felt a bit cutthroat. It felt a bit like dog eat dog. But then I slowly, after hearing that, then it's like I was able to identify, okay, dude, just go about it differently. Yeah, so a lot of our conversations started with how, in one of our conversations, we talk about the people who when we first started out, did shit that we, till this day, still remember. Whether it's letting you sleep at their place, okay, that hasn't happened to me, or showed up on your podcast to talk about comedy, give you some tips, plugged you, say, hey, you want a spot? Put you on their show. Whether it's introduce you to all the right people. That's the thing. There's one in particular. There's one homeboy who I'm very grateful for in the comedy community. But if I said his name, I'm like, fuck. I'll get canceled. It's just so fucking funny. And that's the thing. There's certain names. If I were to say it, I can picture someone being like, "What?" They'll just go straight negative about it. Fuck that nigga, you know. And it's just, but I guess I'm just trying to reflect on the good deeds, people who've just done shit, and it's just in their nature. It was just in their nature to do it. It was just. They didn't do it for props. They just, you know, it's like I'm trying to reflect on when people do kind things. Because we're not perfect human beings, but every once in a while, okay, there was this one time where I was like, again, I'm an emotional dude, sensitive, and I feel it more than your average human being. I remember being on the side of the road. And this is Be Black, you know, fuck these white folks, the white man's the devil, Be Black, whatever, right? And I remember I was on the side of the road and my, what happened? I guess my battery died? Yeah, I guess my battery died. So I was side of the road and my hood was up. And I remember, cart, hey, you okay? You need any help? I was like, no, I'm good. Everyone who kept doing that, it was like, fuck, you people are going to make me cry. It's that brief moment of human kindness. It gets me. And the thing, it was all white folks. This is Ottawa, right? But I was still grateful for all these people who are like, yeah, you all right? You need a ride to the whatever? This is Ontario too. people gave a fuck when it wasn't their time to give a fuck. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? So I guess I'm saying those moments, that conversation with Habib had me reflect about, that's what it is. I've been focusing a lot on the negatives. That's what I'm trying to say. I've been thinking more about the negatives, and the conversation with Habib just reminded me of the positive moments I've had with the local comedy community. I forgot about it. I'm thinking about this one. I went to see, I'm thinking about this one particular dude. It kind of sparked it. I went to see Roy Jr. And there's two comedians that I saw, local comedians, right? And one guy said, "Hey, bro, we miss you, man." I'm like, "Oh, fuck. What the fuck? Nigga, you trying to make me cry?" And this one dude, he was like, "Hey, I'm seeing you." And he goes, "Hey, dude, by the way, I have a room. You want to do a show?" Just like that. And it was like, it's kind of sparked it. It kind of sparked. And I guess that's the main takeaway from Habib. Like, again, I'm not saying I'm converted. I'm not saying that I'm like, okay, I'm a new man. But I am saying the conversation with Habib reminded me of those positive moments in comedy that were off stage. Like, coming off stage. I'm thinking of this one particular moment. I was being heckled on stage, and I didn't even like the way I handled it. And this one particular comedian, the look on his face, it's like, he was having a conversation. He was being polite about it. He goes, "What did we do wrong?" Basically, he was upset at me for not telling this guy to go fuck himself. It's like, bro, had you thrown the first punch, we would have jumped in with you. You know what I mean? It's like he was waiting for permission to fuck up this heckler. But he needed me to initiate the process. I'm going through memory lanes here of the positive aspects. They weren't all good. They weren't, you know, sure, there were some bad moments, but there were some good moments. People just being, you know, cool. And, I think that's the main takeaway from that interview. Oh, all this to say that I'm looking forward to... Okay, I'm going over time. I'm looking forward to publishing this motherfucking interview. I'm grateful for it. I remember, like I said, I went to bed late, woke up early, and I remember thinking, fuck, like cursing myself for being like, B, come on, man. You're 49. You ain't a teenager. You can't go to bed late. But I remember once the interview started, my brain went into... We're feeling all right. I don't know if it's the adrenaline rush, but my brain was, you are doing what you were meant to be doing. And when it was done, I couldn't go back to bed. I was trying to take a nap, but I was like passionate. My adrenaline was rushing. I was like, the master plan, like Eric B says, thinking of a master plan. Did I say Eric B? I mean Rakim. Thinking of a master plan. The master plan is figure out how to do that shit on a full-time and get paid for it. It's not the money, it's more being able to pay my bills with this shit. Imagine that. Like, shout out to those of you who are, their full-time job is their passion. I'm like, fuck. Like, you look forward to Mondays. Or maybe you're still bitching about Monday like the rest of us, but once Monday kicks in, once you're at work, you're like, on fire. All right, let's see. Did I say everything I wanted to say? Podcast and shit? Yeah. Anyway, it was a great interview. I look forward to sharing it. Once I just need to not procrastinate. And you know, it might be not the next episode, but the following one. We'll see. Because I like to talk. All right. This concludes today's episode, which, finally, Be Black. Oh, right. I forgot. The reason I'm recording a little early is because House of Dragon is coming on. So, Silence in the Realm. Looking forward to that shit. There's a lot of good TVs that's on, man. All right, okay. So, check out the other links. Lady in the Bathroom, Not Like Us, Smooth Jasmine, Bleach Blonde, Bad Built Butch Body, It's a Dance, Pierre Poilievre. Yeah, I was going to talk about that, dude. Pierre Poilievre, and apparently he's down with this thing called Men Going Dirt. Basically, yeah, Poilievre is a problematic dude when it comes to women. And how to tell if alligators are in the water. Yeah, man. Check out the other links, man. They're interesting. All right. First of all, happy birthday, Tupac. And shout out, Merry Christmas. If Tupac was Jesus, today would be Christmas. So Merry Christmas to all us Pac fans. And his descendant and his messenger who he sent, Kendrick Lamar. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Holler at me if you want to talk to me. Go to the, yeah. Holler if you hear me at shutuppodcast.com. And I guess that's going to be the same. Holler if you hear me at shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. Also, if you go to the website, I gotta go to the website myself. You can subscribe to this podcast going to Apple, Spotify, or if you can't find me on your favorite directory, just click on the RSS link and plug that shit in your favorite podcatcher. All right, that's enough talking. Thank you for listening, boys and girls. And as always, please, please be kind to your favorite podcast. All right, peace.